We want to talk, just, you know, in light of that, a little bit more about Karen, hopefully today, and a little bit of the parshanut and the whatever, and then we want to move on to a quick couple of, just to clean up Eved and Katan, and a little bit of Rosh Hasharabim, Shein Bregel Shetz Harabim, and then we want to move on to Bor Adam, Bor Misa, Bor Hezek, the Rishonim Mandav Gimel, and then again we're going to try to do a quick foray into each of these, but not too extensive that we can't leave. So we still have to discuss Bor preliminarily, some of the issues of Bor, of Eish, you know, of Adam, and then we have to talk about Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Oshia, and we still have to finish up. We did a lot on hybrids, but we still have a few more hybrid cases to discuss. Okay, to be continued. So for now, let me finish up our discussion of Shein V'Regel. And again, all these are works in progress because, as we said, all the dapim are interconnected. So regarding the beginning of the second parak, we talked about the chiluk between Chaya and Behema. And again, very similar to the phenomenon we encountered in Mechal Yakarna and Shalach Shluchei, the question whether or not the difference, the, you know, the subtle differences in emphasis, in, you know, again, Av and, you know, Av and Tolda versus, you know, Chaya and Behema regarding Regel and Shein are significant or not. Why? You know, merumas in the psukim, but if it's merumas in the psukim, it's not exeris hakasuv. Presumably, the psukim are highlighting the different mechayvim issue, which is what we've been trying to illustrate. And we saw a range of different rishonim yesterday on the sugya on the zayin of aleph and zayin of beis to highlight that particular problem. So, just one more that I just on a, you know, again, a much more technical question. These wouldn't even catch our, you know, they wouldn't command our attention if not for the fact that they fit into the pattern, so they become more significant. But again, just like the order of the Mishnayos and so on and so forth. So why does the Mishnah in the second parak begin with Regel? Right? So again, Tosis weighs in, and their suggestion about, you know, Shein V'Regel being one and so on and so forth, that formulation is very important. The Meiri has a very strange line, which some of the Achronim caught the attention of the Achronim. He says that the reason that the second parak begins with the Regel is because Shor, it's quoted there in Shita Muvatsis also, but it's in the regular Meiri, of course, in the Beis HaBechira, because according to everybody, all the Amoraim, Regel is included in Shor. Right? But it's not true about Shein. Right? Because according to Shmuel, right, Mabe is Shein, so it's not included in Shor. So since Regel, right, is more expansive in terms of its application to Shor, so that's the reason why the second parak began with Regel. Like, what? So some of the Achronim just ask, you know, like they ask it in a more technical, pragmatic way, and that is like, what, the Mishnah was written to satisfy, you know, the views of the Amoraim. I mean, the Amoraim have different views. What Shor means in the first Mishnah, what does it have to do, you know, with how the second parak begins? But I think that's an interesting question. I'll answer it in just a second, obviously. But, you know, forget about that. There's, like, just a much more basic question. And that is, like, you know, who cares, you know, that Regel, you know, is a better candidate or is a universal candidate for sure, whereas Shein is not. Number one, do we paskin that way? You know, and number two, who cares anyway? Right? You know, what's this all about? But according to what we're saying, what we've been saying, and picking up on one of these little things, but again, it's rooted in bigger things. Otherwise, you know, we wouldn't do it. what we're really trying to say is that Regel, right, is relative to Shein, right, is more of a generic and basic concept. And what we don't mean that the Tana was written for the Amoraim, but what we do mean is that the Amoraim view, you know, kind of reflects, doesn't have to, but it might reflect that, meaning doesn't, you know, no one wants, you know, to leave, you know, Regal out of Shane, but leaving Shane, I'm sorry, Regal out of Shore, but leaving Shane out of Shore is something that Amoraim are comfortable doing. The reason that they're comfortable is because instinctively, probably, they felt that Shane is a much more specialized, you know, Mechayev, meaning that the Hanoa part as opposed to the Matsui part, and so on, and what it implies, and just the way the Psukim are written, Ubiar, instead of, you know, and so on, is something which is more different, more unique, more specialized. So the fact that the Amoraim, it's not that the Amoraim, the Mishnah is held hostage, you know, to the, you know, to the later decision of the Amoraim. It's that the Amoraim were kind of, you know, instinctively, you know, responding, you know, to this question. And that's what we do care, you know. Again, the Mishnah isn't talking about Shore necessarily, but the point is it's a good place to start the second parak because it's more generic. Okay, that's just another example of what we've been talking about. Oh. In light of that, just also to raise an interesting question, you know, we didn't do this sugya yet, but we hopefully will get a chance. The sugya in Bava Kamma, Tchilas of Mshia V'Socho Ba'ones, right? Where do we say Tchilas of Mshia V'Socho Ba'ones, you know, when it comes to Dine Nizke Mamon? Right, we know that sugya from Hilchos Shmira in the world of Shomrim, but it also applies in the world of Nizke Mamon, right? So let's say, you know, Tchilas of Mshia V'Socho Ba'ones, Kayev. When do you say that? When don't you say it? Oh. It even comes up actually in a very, you know, Dlosos Chaturos Bifnei Kalabim. That's a famous view of the Rush. I'll talk about that in a few minutes. In the beginning of the second parak, that's based on Tchilas of Mashiach himself of Ba'ones. Anyways, so there's a view in the Rishonim that says that we only apply Tchilas of Mashiach himself of Ba'ones, you know, within the same Av. But we don't apply it across different avos. So that's an interesting question. First of all, it's an interesting view. And it's particularly, you know, an interesting view, you know, in light of our bigger question, you know, which is impacting everything. And that is, are we dealing with different mechayvim? Or are we dealing with, you know, basically a tzad hashaveh, a unified theory, you know, with some, you know, chilukim, you know, exeris hakasuv chilukim, compensation, you know, chilukim, etc. Obviously, the more you're dealing with different mechaibim, the more reasonable it is to say that tchilas b'shiyah v'sof ba'ones is going to be limited to within a certain mechaib, a certain path, right, as opposed to across the board. So now the question is, if you hold that way, and some rishonim do, what will you say about Shane and Regel? Right? Are Shane and Regel, you know, one av or two of those? I don't mean. I do also mean. You know, what in the Mishnah, you know, what does Mava mean and what does Shor mean? But you know, more importantly, the question that we've been dealing with, which is on the one hand, all the heavy evidence that Shane and Regel are one. You know, Turush Saradim. You know, one pasuk, maybe one word, maybe one in Minyan Mitzvos. That's why you can keep, you know, flipping back and forth in terms of the order, because who really cares? You know, it's the law of transitivity. You know, it doesn't matter. A equals B, B equals A. Who cares what you start with? It's all the same. It's all Shein and Regel, anyway. So, Hu Adin, Tchilas of Mashiach V'Socho Ba'ones, even if you have that, you know, limitation, you would say it with regard to this halacha as well. On the other hand, again, so if you hold like the Smag or the language of Tosis and so on and so forth, but if you hold that Shein and Regel, notwithstanding their, you know, the common elements, which we've just described, but they really are two different Chayvim, which we've had, you know, both substantive and especially other, you know, indications of, more subtle indications of, so then you would get that result as well. So does it only depend on what, you know, you end up deciding in Minyan HaMitzvos, meaning, you know, it doesn't matter whether it's the Smag or the Chinuch, you know, etc. It just depends whether or not they're one mitzvah or two. Like, you know, what about the Rambam? What about Sajigon? You know, and so on and so forth. It's hard to know whether it depends. You know, maybe even if they're one in Minyan HaMitzvos because they're from the same Pasuk, they still might be two different Mechayvim, in which case, it's reasonable that something like Tchasim Shiv Sof Monos would not apply. Okay. So that's a something to think about. And Tsroros L'Shein, which I mentioned before, again, could just be a Tsroros question. Like, in other words, if you think that Tsroros isn't such a Chiddush, and that Tsroros is just always a more diluted, we have to talk about Tsroros, obviously, more extensively. If Tsroros is just, you know, always the dilution of, you know, there's Koach, and then there's, you know, or there's Maisa and there's Koach, or there's Koach and there's Koach Koko. Whatever it is, it's all just, you know, in a quantitative or qualitative hierarchy of dilution. So, you know, that's one side of the question. Or no, Tsroros is always very mechudash, and it's only going to work with certain kinds of mechayvim. There's going to be an ein l'chabal chidusho, number one, and number two, even on the logical realm, it's going to work where it makes sense to work, right? You know, particularly if it's an outgrowth of the Maisa Hezek, you know, and so on. You know, but the Maisa, or the connection to the Bailim, and so on. What he puts in motion, and therefore what he continues to be responsible for. But there are certain perspectives on the Mechayiv of Nizke Mamon, which make Tsroros much more difficult, right? So, again, you know, we already touched on this, but again, Tsroros definitely is most associated with the classic Tsroros as Rego. And that's what the Gemara says on Beis Amid Beis. If there are Tsroros, if Shein and Regel are mostly the same, then there's no reason really why you can't have Tsroros to Shein. Right? And that was the view, one view in the Tosa Rosh on Beis Amid Beis. That's the view of Tosas on, what is it, Yud Zayin Amid Beis. Small little Tosas, right? Nover ba'ashpa, yikar semenu chazir miyar, v'targamina yinovri reno, v'afagav detana tsroros deregel, ashmi'inam tsroros deshein de lahanasa ka'avid. Right? And maybe that's the 2 days in Rashi, on your chesed base, or the view of the Rebbeinu Chananel. Right? Maybe that's the question, that's the machlokas, whether or not there really is tsroros, you know, for Shein, yes or no. So again, it could be just, you know, in the Kabbalah Chidusha, but the more you think Regel and Shein are one, the more, you know, on any level, it makes sense to think that Tsroros is going to apply to Shein. And the more you think they're very different, and especially that Shein is really defined by, you know, the Hana, and it's, on the contrary, Maisa Shoro, you know, as opposed to, you know, just the result of you not having done a good shmira, and everything is mitzura. You know, whatever happens, the outcomes are all connected to you. You know, so the idea that, you know, in regel, maybe that's, you know, tsroros is a dilution, but it's still mitzura. And maybe in shein, it's not. Maybe you really cut off shein after the maisa hana, not the trigger that the hana generates from it. So this again, I mentioned it already, but. So this also, as we've discussed, you know, might very well affect, you know, how we draw the line, or, you know, how we look at the Hagdara of Hana. We talked about that already as well. So, you know, we talked about the debate between the Rajba and Talmidei Rajba of Arash that we talked about already, right? The, you know, the attempt, you know, to be Nana that fails, right? We talked about Nachash, right? Hanas Nachash, Rajba versus Palitosis. We talked about the question of whether you need Hana from the Cheftza of the Nezek or not, right? The Rach versus the Tosis Shans. And again, the Tsroros people in between, it's hard to know what they think. Again, Tosfos Shantz's idea is that, you know, whether it's Tsroros, Gufa, is determined by whether it's Shein. Right? And that could just, you know, very well be the case. Or it could be, no, these are two different issues. And those people who cholek with the Rach are cholek mitam Tsroros, but they don't necessarily agree with the Tosfos Shantz that Shein itself requires you know, Hagav Hana Miguf Chatzah Shel Nezek. So that's an interesting other argument. That's part of the Matil Gemalim argument. So basically, we have quite a few cases, right, where you have a debate what constitutes Hana or not. I should also add another one, if you haven't seen it. The Rajba, I think I told you to look at Yotesa Beis, right? Kishkasha, Viznava, Kishkasha, Bamasa. I want to get back to that when we do a little bit of a, you know, summation, not of what we have until now, at least, on the relationship between Karen, Shane, and Regel. So the Rajba has a Chiddush on Yotesa Beis. Aryeh Yisad? Yeah? Yeah. Just because you change your seat doesn't mean we... What's the Gemara there? Kishkasha, you have it?
Oh,
Kishkasha Biznava. Uba Masa. What?
I don't have it in front. I'm sorry. What is it on?
We don't have it in front. You don't have a Gemara in front of you?
No.
But you have a Rambam.
I came to share in the
room for a second. Oh, okay. So we'll give you a break. Unless you've seen it anyway. Have you seen it anyway?
Yeah. So the Gemara says, I did not see the
Rashba. We had it before. We made reference to it already, but we have to get back to it. It's one of our Karen Gemaras, or possibly a Karen Gemara. Right. Kishkasha Biznava.
Yeah.
Right?
So, Rav Yudin Nisiyah, Rav Oshia, Ethel, or Rav Yudah, Nava Kmoz, Nisiyah, Kishka Biznava, Ma. So, it's Kasha about Kishka Biznava, which means an animal swagging instead.
He's waving his tail. What do you want him to do? You have to hold on to his tail when you walk with him in the street? Right?
Karen
Lavurche.
Then
it should be Orchid Rishon Sarab, who cares? It should be Potter, it should be Shane, it should be Rego, basically, yeah. I think. What's the answer?
Kishko Shisera, it's when he's being Khashish, but he does it in an excessive way, so the Kasha is, so at least the way Rashi phrases the Kasha, is Kishko Shisera going to be Orchid or not?
Okay. So that's a question whether it constitutes, or that's the pashtus of the Gemara. And what's the maskana of that Gemara? The Gemara leaves it b'ayid lo ifshita. There's a machlokas arishonim, whether it really is a b'ayid lo ifshita, or we're poshate that part. Then you have kishkasha b'amasa, which we'll get back to. Right, that's a little trickier. God, what's kishkasha b'amasa? Let's get it in for the record.
So again, it's further a question.
So that's a new factor. We'll get back to that, not right now. Yitzra Tokfa is a factor in Karen, right?
Well, kind of brought up.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, correct. Very good. Excellent. Dilma, Karen. This is a very important Gemara for Karen because, number one, we finally... You know, the forgotten Kavanasa Lahazik, you know, came back in this Gemara, you know, Baruch Hashem. And, okay, so Karen, what's the relationship between Kavanasa Lahazik and Yitzro Tokfo? Okay, good. So that's also a further question, which we have to deal with. But anyway, the Rajba and Bava Kama, right, number one, it's fascinating. What is the Safek there? So Moshe also brought this to my attention, correct? And that what? On the first part, not this part, but... That the whole suffix in the Rajba is going back and forth, how much Matsui, right? The gap between Karen and Regal, correct? So it's Parkinan Kishkush Yisera Kamiboy, Afagab Dahava Urcha Tvei, Mi Karen Lab Urche Mamishu, El Shinuihu Vareuka Karen. Meaning Rishus Arabim, the Urchinamihu, V'lo chashvinu le shinui l'chaivo kekeren. So it's just a very interesting Rashba. Like, what's the line, you know, between regel and keren? Something isn't exactly classic keren. It's not exactly classic regel either. Where is it? Or another way of saying that is, do you need a high standard of shinui for keren, or do you need a high standard of urche for regel? That's kind of the suffix. But that's not... That's a, I'll be interested in that. We'll get back to that. Because that has to do also with the, you know, the continuum line between Karen, Regel, and Shane, which I started talking about, and I want to just, if we have time today, we'll continue with that. We'll get back to it. But then he has an amazing line, which is, Moshe, Venira, that's what I'm interested in now, she told it to Shane, Kineskacha Bekosel, Dilahanasahu. Right? So that's revolutionary. You know, typically, the discussion in the Rishonim is, you know, whether this is Regel or Karen. Okay? I think that I can't be sure of this. Like, what motivated the Rajba to say that Kishkasha Biznava, I'm not talking about Amasa, we'll get to Amasa, but Kishkasha Biznava is Shane. Like, why would it be Shane? Well, what motivated him, Moshe? Maybe. What? Yeah, exactly. I think this is the continuation of his own reading of the Gemara. He's like, he doesn't like the idea, number one. Like, it's not a, you know, an actuarial question. It's not a Matthias question. Like, how frequent this is, or how bizarre or unusual it is either. Right? I guess it could be, you know, a halachic debate between, again, as we've said in the past, with Tal Pal Ganiska and so on, what's the threshold? Or if you have two different concepts, like the question of ubiquity, frequency, in other words, how often it happens, and how bizarre it is when it happens. Right? So it could be something like that. I just don't know. We're not sure. We never have these kind of questions. But you can see the Raj was really struggling. You know, it's not... doesn't fit in Karen, and it doesn't exactly fit in Rega. I think that's really what motivated him to think that this was Shane. Right? Because if it's Shane, now Shane doesn't have to be clearly as Matsui as Regel, at least according to most Rishonim. Right? Or it, now again, according to the Smag with the Imei, and I think there's a lot of people with him, you know, in the end of the day, the Hana part is what establishes it's never bizarre, and when it happens, you know, it's an urche. Now, there are two urches. There's an urche. Regel is matsui because it happens all the time. Regel is matsui because it doesn't need any kind of further initiative. Right? It's just the animal walking the rishus around it. Right? Shane is not, you know, as frequent as regel. Right? And it does require initiative, but you might say, again, the smog people will tell you, but it doesn't matter. It's never bizarre, and it's never unusual. So it's a lower level of frequency, but it's, you know, but it's matsui in a different way. Other Rishonim, however, let's say you hold that there are two mechaivim. So what you might say is, regel is matsui, and shame, lahana, has nothing to do with matsui. The problem is, if, and this we'll get back to, if there's Hana, but it's Mishuna, it still might very well be Karen, right? That's kind of what you have to deal with in Kalba Da'achla Shunri, right? Because there is Hana there, but it's Mishuna. So if it's going to be Karen, it's going to be, if it's going to be the Mishuna of Karen, it's going to be Karen. But all you, if it's not, meaning if it's a little bit Matsui, meaning it's A, not bizarre, B, you know, is more frequent, one or the other or both, I'm not sure which. So it doesn't have to be matsui on the level of regel, right? But, you know, that's a separate category. And especially if we're dealing with different mechaibim, that's the case. So it's a mechaib of Hana, and it escapes Karen. So that's what this Gemara is about, says the Rajma. The only thing is Kishkasha Biznava really Hana? Like, that's an assumption. So most Rishonim don't think so, just because, like, what does that mean? Right? You know, the whole context is Regel. seemingly it is Rego. But what I'm interested in it right now, hey, I think it's interesting for the question of, you know, Karen Mishuna, you know, Regel Matsui, you know, Shane, either the quality or the quantity somewhere, you know, either the whatever. I think it's interesting for that question. But for the moment, I'm interested, I'm just compiling a small list of what is the Hagdara, what quality of Hana is required for Shane, right? That's what we're talking about. Kavana lahana velo etzliach. Nachash, you know, level of Hana. Okay. It happens the Rajba is in the forefront of a lot of these discussions, right? Lekula and Lechumra, right? So, again, he's not going as far as the Talmud HaRajba at all, who thinks that you really need to, you know, be there. You have to really do it. You know, you have to be Nana. Kavana Lahana, but a Kavana for a certain quality of Hana still. Okay, but Nachash is okay. What about Kishka Shabbos Nava? So, what I want to say is that, you know, Hatalas Galalim, you know, etc. You're not Nana from the Chetzah Shel Nezek, that's for sure. It's not even the same kind of physical Hana as Hatalas Galalim or Tinfa Bepeiros or Nischachacha Bekosel. It doesn't achieve those levels at all. But he likes doing it. He does it because he likes it. You know, it's not that kind of physical pleasure. So all these are interesting questions. Again, if you think Shane is just about, it's not bizarre, you know, Shane is just, you know, about, you know, it's not Kavana Lahazik, then you really require a very minimum shiur for it. Right? But if, you know, you have to create a mechayiv of hana of some sort, to be mitzarev, to be, you know, to the animal, to emphasize the act of hezek or nezek, or chefta shel nezek itself, right? Certainly if you want to add this gezel idea. So then what you mean by hana, right, in this context, you know, that you might require a much more specialized, you know, becomes possible. Or no? That's the question. Okay. So, the Yerushalmi, I told you if you had a chance to look at the Yerushalmi, seems to upgrade, Tinfa Peiros and the Skacha Bekos. Yeah.
Some
Rashba.
Yeah. So, I think Moshe pointed out that the Rashba we saw yesterday says that the case of Ravitza.
Is Ravitza Lahana Asa,
but nonetheless is a full of
Rega. So one more time, that Ravitza. Yeah, yeah, the Ravitza Lahana Asa is Rega.
Interesting in comparison. With right. There also you have a diluted form of Hana, so you might have thought that the Rashba was the
Shabbat. It's the opposite, a parallel opposite.
Yeah, but the question is why there was motivated? It just has more Rega to it?
I think so.
Could that be?
And it is more Matsui, because he's talking about Pachim Ketan.
Right.
Which the Gemara thinks is. Seems to say it's Rug. And the Rajba himself paskins that way, like Rabbi Eliezer about Pachin Ketan. So I think it's a parallel case. Now there you have Hana'a through Ravitza and or Drich, whatever you want to call it. And that he calls Rega.
Right.
Yeah.
So could it also be maybe an echo of the Gemara's Tavli that we care about the Tzura?
That we care about?
That we care about the Tzura.
Yes. Right. Maybe. I'll get back to that. I mean, like Shane and
Rego. In this case, Ravitza is with the legs.
Right. And that definitely was the Hava Mina.
So here, when you're on the border between Rego and Shane, then...
I think I mentioned that.
Yeah, right. Yesterday.
Yeah, I do think that's possible. Especially, but then you just have to add, I think, that other point, and that is about the border. Right. Now, if it were that Karen Lechud and Rega Lechud and Shane Lechud Legamri, then this would have worked. But because, again, it's all shore, you know, and again, what's the default, what's the whatever, I think that does pick it up. So that's a very good quoting him. Okay, so you get credit for that. Aruf. Okay, thank you. Okay, good. So these are, I was going to say about the Yerushalmi. Anybody get a chance to see the Yerushalmi? Thay Naim also quotes it here. He was impressed with it. That Tinfa Peiros doesn't just mean, you know, wallowing, you know, on the, like, oh, you know, it's a it's a hot day, you know, you cool yourself off by, you know, destroying this guy's produce, right? Pretty mean. But what is it? It's sicha, right? So again, it sounds like the Yerushalmi may be interested in upgrading. You have it, Alex?
Is this on Aleph and Bet?
Aleph Aleph. Yeah, I mean, Parak Aleph Halach Aleph. Parak Aleph Halach Aleph. Yeah. Telephone based, but it sounds right.
Okay. So he says.
I have it over the back of your face. Now you're
told us to change.
Yeah.
Told us Hashem bidar sal gabi node mali shemen uvasicha gufa nana kamad tamar taman hashin uchas v'aguf nana uvacha nana gufa.
So this sounds like, again, exactly what the Yerushalmi mean, but we'll talk more, but it sounds like there may be a requirement, again, closer to the original shein. Right, the original shein is achila. Right, achila is hanasa guf. Right? That's the ultimate misasek b'chalav marai shekeinena, right? That's the ultimate shekeinena, and you really ingest it. Right? So, it isn't just that, you know, you do it l'shem hana, or there's some sort of extraneous or external hana, right? There's hana saguf, and it is ingested into the guf. So sicha is an interesting question in particular, because in the world of the halacha, right, sicha has a kind of an interesting, you know, status. Like sometimes we say, sicha's kishtiya. Right? In, at minimum, again, Yom Kippur, you know, etc., right, sicha is one of the inuyim. Right, at Hilchos Trumos, right, Velvel has a piece. That's one of the exchanges, actually, that the, with the Rav, actually, on the status of Sicha and Trumos. So the argument there is that whenever, and I think Beis Halevi said it earlier, whenever you're dealing with a Chetza Shel Achila, as opposed to a Maisa Achila, meaning when you're assessing Achila from the perspective of the object that is Nechal, rather than the person who is eating it, in other words, when it comes to the person eating it, there's a difference between Achila and Sicha, clearly. However, when it comes to, if you need that the object be nechal, eaten up, consumed, rather, better way to say it, not the act of consumption or consuming, but the chefta to be consumed, right? So then we say sicha is kishtiya. That's the issue. In which halachos, like what do we care about on Yom Kippur? On Yom Kippur we care about the maisachila, right? But in Trumos, we really care about that the chefts of Truma be nechal, you know, bikdusha. So that's why there we say, sicha is kishtiya. Okay. Anyways, why am I telling you that? I'm just trying to point out that if you want to limit the hana of shein to things like sicha or ingestion, right, then you're really playing up, you know, the paradigm of achila and hana saguf, you know, in a big way. There's also discussion in Yerushalmi, this is in the second parak. What happens if the animal, right, rips out, instead of eating the shachas, is korea the shacha, to rips the shachas out of the ground, and then eats it. Is that considered to be, that's a discussion in the Yerushalmi, whether that's considered to be shein or not, whether that's considered to be hana. That's also a very interesting question. Excuse me. Right, there's a process there. You know, it's l'shem achila. Again, it's not kavanos l'hazik. If your point in shein is, you know, how usual this is, you know, how, you know, innocuous it is, it's not a maisa hezek per se, kavanos l'hazik, you know, then that should be fine. But again, if you need like an immediate gratification, hana gratification, to to be defined as a maisa hana, then what about like the beginning of a process which has, you know, a couple of steps? So these are some of the issues that you know, that require analysis. So this brings us back to, I just want to finish up with Michal Yekarna now. There are other cases too. Yeah.
That even Achila Idei Adekak
is an av.
Yeah. And then once we say Achila Idei Adekak is
again, this is right.
That's when we can say Sicha Begufa is.
Oh, because it isn't by Sahila, yeah, but it is Kapshashal Achila. I like that. I didn't think of that, but that's very good. That originally we thought that Achila Idei Dchak would be a Tolda, yeah, even though it is Achila, because everything depends on the Hana is defined by the Maisa Achila. And maybe Achila Idei Dchak, Lo Shma Maisa Achila. But the Hefta is Nechal. So if that's what if that's what defines whether the Nezek is ingested or Nechal, then that would be enough. Very good. Maybe. Very good. Okay. Yeah. The question of, you know, Achila Idei Adchak, you know, in the Sug again, in the second parak, so Tosis and Shabbos also, in the Ayin Vav Amud Aleph, you know, discusses that, you know, whether Nezek is different than other areas of Halacha. So, again, closely connected to what Natan is talking about. I wasn't going to make that link in the Yerushalmi, but that is very good. But I was going to bring up Achila Idei Adchak in general. You know, if you're Mechalik between Nezek and other places, again, it needs to be assessed exactly in this way. Mais Achila, Cheftza Shal Achila, Hana, just as Shalola Shem Lahazik, or as Matsui. Depending on what you're talking about, these things will make more or less sense. Okay, now let's talk about Michal Yekarna. Before we get back to Rashi and Tosis, which we mostly, Rashi and the Rajva, which we partly discussed, but I want to add a few other points, because we were running in the end. So let's just, in addition to the things that we did, just add a few other issues. Okay, so the Hava Mina was between Michalik and Shane, between Michal Yekarna and Lo Michal Yekarna. The question is, what is the maskana? The maskana is that, you know, even below Michal Yekarna, seemingly, you are chayiv mishum shein. What's not clear is, you know, whether or not, you know, there are two dinim or one din, right? And if there is one din, what that din is. In other words, we could end up saying that there are two psukim, right? And basically, it's almost like an av and a tolda, right? We'll get to the Rajva and Tosis in a minute. In the end of the day, there are two, you know, two ways to accomplish shame. You can do shame through Michal Yekarna. I'm assuming for the moment my definition, which I'll expand on just a little bit, which is that Michal Yekarna is a reflection of Chetza Shel Nezek, or Maisa Hezek, as opposed to Hefsed, right, or Chisaron Mamon, because in all cases, Michal Yekarna, Lo Michal Yekarna, is Hefsed Mamon. The need for, again, Chetza Shel Nezek, or Hezek, is something very, very much more specific, right? So, you know, once we say it's Bein B'Michal Yekarna, Bein Shalom B'Michal Yekarna, I think there are two ways to go with it. One is to say that there are two kinds of shames. There's a shame of Hefsed and there's a shame of Hezek. The other is that the Kamash Malan is to teach you that even Shalom B'Michal Yekarna is considered Hezek, but the Ikar is defined by the word of Bier, which first caught our attention. So Bier is the Mechayiv, right? We would have thought that following through on that, we would narrow, you know, the cases to cases of obvious Chetza Shel Nezek. And our Kamash Malan is that what we originally thought were only Hefsed is also considered Chetza Shel Nezek, maybe through Hefsed, but the Yesod is still correct. Or the Yesod is wrong. In other words, what we're being marbet is that there's no Yichus to Michal Yekarna, you know, you know, not no nafkamina, and in addition that, you know, it was a passing, you know, havamina, nothing more. Again, a frozen moment, a could have been world, and we're turning our back on it. Okay, we're turning our back on it completely. These are the other questions: how to read the Gemara, if indeed that is what the Gemara basically establishes. We'll see in a moment that, you know, the Bali Tosas are impressed with the fact that the Torah uses the expression ubir and mechal yakarna, you know, even lamaskata, right? Because they don't think that once we know that lo mechal yakarna is in the picture, you know, that the impression of mechal yakarna, you know, is completely rejected. And we'll see in a moment that that is also true, and even more dramatically, for which Rishon? For a particular Rishon? Which Rishon? The Meiri. Okay? Before we get to that, we should also just take a step back and note that one could have thought, and there is a view in the Meiri, that really we paskin l'halacha that you require mechal yakarna, even l'halacha. Why would we say that, Yoni? All right, that might be the reason. That might be, how do you, based on what? I mean, in our Gemara, it seems pretty clear that it's not the case, la halacha. There's another Gemara that seems to imply that maybe you do require mechal yakarna, and maybe it's a machlokas asugyas. Which Gemara? You see? Ellie? Yeah, just read that Gemara just for a second. What's the Gemara talking about there? Another fascinating topic, which, you know, I don't know. I hope. What topic? Pipara kachatzar anizak or kachatzar amazik, Tommy. Right? So the Gemara has the line there. You have the line, Ellie? I amris. Yeah, because every time you're dealing with Shane, it's in the mouth of the mazik, and that should be what? Like right? If it's Rishus, you know, Hamazik, it should be Potter. Right? Go ahead.
Amar of Mari Brader of Kahana, Kagon Shani Takas of the Kota Anata, the Tim Papera of Anata.
Oh. So it sounds like the Gemara is you know, suggesting that Shane is a case of Tinfa and Ischachacha, which our Gemara calls Tolda, correct? It sounds like this Gemara thinks that that's the Av. Okay, keep going. Maskiflo Marzutra.
Maskiflo Marzutra. V'habamina kashay v'herat alal atimo v'leta.
Oh. Which means you need mechal yakarna, right? What's the Gemara's answer? Rabina Amar.
Rabina Amar de Shab Salmi, Ravashi Amar de Pasi Psuai.
You can really find cases of Mechal Yakarna even in those two cases. Correct? So the simple reading of the Matzkan of this Gemara is that Shane requires Mechal Yakarna. Correct? And that's also the Ha'ara of Rabbi Kivager, I think, right? Here in Gilyon HaShas on Gimel Amud Aleph. What? At the bottom. But we'll get to what Tosa says in a second. The Kra'ayli Bachira de Mechal Yakarna says, Ayin Lekaman Chav Gimel Amud Veis. But he means it in a more specialized way. We'll get to that in a second. Right, that's Gemara that he's pointing to. But there's a view, one view of the Meiri. Who has a line in the Meiri? Zakaria, you have it? Meiri has what, three deos here?
Yeah.
Oh, so that's one daya that actually says that Shane requires Mechal Yakarna. That's sensational. I mean, again, I don't know who it is, but it's it's sensational. What can I say? Okay. Contrast that with the Rambam, by the way. Who? Finish the sentence. Are you? Contrast that with the Rambam, I said. Who? It's a little misleading. Okay, Adam?
I would imagine he doesn't mention Mechalia Karna.
Very good. Okay. And you surmised that from my saying that it was misleading. Or that
no,
it was parallel.
Very not misleading.
What?
Very straightforward.
Oh, okay.
It's contrasting.
Meaning, the Rambam never meant... Some of the Achronim note that the Rambam never mentions Mechalia Karna one way or another. Right? In contrast to the view that, you know, the halacha we even hold based on the Gemara and Chav Gimel, that, like, there's a machlokas asugyas, we paskin like Chav Gimel and base, and it's only been Mechal Yakar. Sounds like the Rambam doesn't register Mechal Yakar. Riff also doesn't mention Mechal Yakar. Correct. Okay, so two opposite. What does the Meiri say? Oh, so that's fascinating also. I mean, on the one hand, the Meiri comes here, to be a moderate. I'm not saying he came to be a moderate, but it looks like, he's taking the moderate position here before he jumps into another radical one. Now, the first view is, there's a machlokas asugyas, and maybe we paskin, you need Mechalia Karna and Shane. Amazing. Right? You say, no, lav dafka, there's no machlokas asugyas, you don't need Mechalia Karna, babe, Mechalia Karna, babe, shalom, Mechalia Karna. Okay, but that's not the end of the story, right, Zecharia? Because there's an implication here, which I want to bring out, namely, because the explanation still, is it a good explanation? What's the explanation? We're not saying that lo mechal yakarna would be patur, but we are saying lo yitachein that what?
That there is simply no case of shein mechal yakarna.
Yeah, you have to have an upfront av type case of mechal yakarna. Why?
Perhaps like Tosfos, that's the pashas in front.
Ah, okay. So I think that's significant, because again, I think that these were not small matters, they're a subtle reflection of big matters. Meaning, maybe what the Meiri is saying is, again, how do you explain the Gemara, right? That that Gemara on Chav Gimel Amid Beis itself is saying, like you could say, oh, there's a machlokas, and we pass him like that sugya, we pass him like this sugya, okay. End of story. What he's saying is, no, everybody holds the lo mechal yakarna is chayav b'shein lahalacha, right? However, mechal yakarna still needs to, it's still miyuchas, right? It still needs to be formulated. Why? The answer is either because our two dinim, and it matters, or maybe there aren't two dinim, but it's the din. Meaning it's true that you can get away with lo mechal yakarna, but that's because lo mechal yakarna is mechal yakarna enough. But mechal yakarna as a paradigm, or as the paradigm, remains an important element, because even though we're going to expand on it, lemaisa, conceptually, right, this idea of mazik versus mafsid and focusing on the Maisa Nezek, the Chefta Shal Nezek, etc., and Shein might be really important. Okay. What's the next view of Meiri? Now he gets radical again, but in a really interesting way. That it? Okay. Now we could yawn at the end, right? No, I don't really mean to. I'll leave one. You understand. Okay, so what do you think about that, Meiri? Exciting? The third view.
Very exciting.
So what's he saying?
He's saying that, it's kind of, Dumya Derego.
You either need Mechal Yakarna or Sholach Shluchei. You need one or the other. That's sensational. So let me ask you this question. Do you need either of those in Regel? According to this view? What? Do you?
Presumably.
What?
Presumably.
Presumably?
I mean, the Gemara says, Domi Derein, the same way.
What? No, but let's remember also that the Gemara did have the Hava Mina of Shalach Shluchei by Shein. Correct?
Meaning the third part.
Yeah. And the Gemara never had explicitly the Hava Mina of Mechal Yakarna by Regel. Arya, what do you want to say?
Yeah, then there's no Ad Tumo by Regel. I mean, the whole driving force here is the
Ad Tumo. Ad Tumo or Ubier.
Yeah, I'm saying that doesn't really exist by Regel. So
right. The Shilach maybe goes on the whole Pasuk. Maybe. All I'm pointing out is two things. And remember the Yerushalmi? Remember the Rajba's Yerushalmi? What's the get, right? Shalach Shluchei. Correct? So, again, I don't know for sure. I really wish I could interview the Meiri on this point. You know, I'm really glad that Adam said, presumably, what's good for the Shein is good for the Regel. Right? I'm glad you said that. And I'm hoping it isn't true. I think it's likely not true, actually. Although, again, I don't know. I'd love to do the interview. So what am I getting at? Let's say it this way. Again, so the Ha'ara is that in the Gemara we have Shalach Shluchei as a possibility in Shein. On the second level, not on the first level. The first thing we think about Shein is Mechal Yakarna, but we do have a possibility in Shalach Shluchei. And then the Gemara, you know, again, that Rashi... How to, you know, what happens in the Maskana, the next line. We have it in the Rajba's reading of the Yerushalmi. Correct? Again, if Regel is more generic, right? A. And B, if it is, you know, particularly, you know, unrelated to Mechal Yakarna, which, as we know, some Rishonim think is not true, right? But if it is completely unrelated to Mechal Yakarna, then you'd have this distinction. Okay. What is to be done with it? What does the Pshara of the Meiri mean? So I think there are two ways to explain it. Basically, one is that either Shalach Shluchei or Mechal Yakarna, right? Are koveya the same thing? I mean, there are two ways to put Shein over the top, to make Shein into a, instead of just being like a, you know, this is the animal, you know, in Rishus Arabim, or this is the animal, I should say, in Rishus Hanizak, that's what an animal does. To turn the animal into a mazik, right? One way is hanola zeko. You know, but again, Mechal Yakarna, because it isn't just the Hana, right? Mechal Yakarna, Mazik. And the other way is through the, you know, maybe it isn't a Mazik, because it's just Hana, it's just eating. So if he eats the whole thing up, that's Chepta Shal Nezek. And, you know, or if he was, you know, sent to do the job. You know, so the diabolical motivation of the, you know, of the Mishaleach, you know, that's what brands it as Hezek. That's one way to say it. That would be if either one was what put Shein over the top in the same way. However, what I much prefer to say is that Dar Tudinim in Shein, and to use Shua's, you know, formulation, there's kind of a regal aspect of Shein, and there's a Shein aspect of Shein. Right? The Shein aspect of Shein is, you know, Chefta Shal Nezek. And that's Mechal Yekarna. But if Shalach Shluche, you know, then Shane, you know, is, it's not Karen. So, you know, it works Midin, you know, the Tziruf to the, to, of the Maisa to the Bailim. When the Shane is working as Maisa Behema, then you did a Chefta Shal Nezek. Right, and where it's going to work as Tziruf to the Bailim, then as long as the Hefset is traced to the Bailim, that's a Mechayev. But either way, Regel never works as Shane. Maybe Shane sometimes works as Regel. Either way, according to the Meiri, we could totally understand, you know, that there are two dinim. Right? Because there really are two dinim. Whether it's in the smaller way or what I prefer, the bigger way, there really are two dinim. Okay. Now, if we don't hold like the Meiri, which most people don't, so the idea that, and this goes back to what we were saying before, that even though lo mechal yekarna is chayiv, and there's no difference between mechal yekarna and lo mechal yekarna, you don't need shalach shluche more or less one way or another, I mean, there's no actual nafkamina, but still conceptually we still are left with the question, that's because the 180 degree, what mechal yekarna stands for, is has been neutralized, you know, has been rejected, or is that because you don't need to be mechal yekarna to be mechal yekarna, or another way to say it, even when it's lo mechal yekarna, it's still chefta shel nezek. The hefset is a nezek, or the miktsas, you know, hezek is a hezek. So again, interesting. That's what to, what is Tosa say again? Skaria, go ahead. Tosa says what? Tinfa peris lanasa. That's the end. That's what you say. Okay, great. Fine. The problem with that is, what bothers Tosis? Why do you call it a tolda? It's merumas, you know, in the psukim, because of the fact that there are two psukim. The Rajma asks the question more sharply on Tosis, correct? What does he ask? Are you saw it?
Yeah. He asks if we're going to be Marbe this from the as a tolda.
He just has asked it more sharply, correct. Yeah. He's saying, how come?
How can you the possible Marbe is a tolda?
If it's not a tolda, it should be an av, it's like it's Mefurish Bakra. Just like remember those just likes, you know, that we're feeding off of them. You know, they're not giving us much in substantive chilukim. We're having to work very hard. So we have to feed off of the, you know, a lot of the, you know, havaminas and linguistic stuff. Always easier when there are just tons of straight out nafkamina, but we're talking about chain and regal. We're working hard to get anything. You have it? No Gemara, no Rambam, but you know the Rajma by heart. Amazing. So I like that whole thing in Dichta Bakilu and Dichta Bakra. That's like pretty, right? Like that's a formulation. It's like when Rashi said the same thing about the drashos, you know Rashi and you know, when he attacks Rebosef Shel Rashi about, you know, Kiddushei Kesed, he says, "What are you talking about? It's Mefurish Bakra. It's like it's written in." No, he says it's a drasha. It's like it's Mefurish Bakra. He said, "Whoa." You say Doraisa, one thing, then, you know, that makes it Ki'ilu Mefurish Bakra. So here also he says, oh, you have an extra pasuk, so it's Ki'ilu Mefurish Bakra. Right? So that's number one. But especially the comparison to, right, Shalach Shluche and Mimela, and regel. So again, can you blame the Rajba? Not at all. Of course, the default is that he's totally right. Mimanafshach, why is the you know the havamina and the maskana in regel not considered a tolda? No one says sholach shluche. That's the av, right? The mimela. That's the tolda. We don't say that. But when it comes to, according to Tosis, when it comes to Mechal Yekarna is the Av, and Lo Mechal Yekarna, i.e., the Tinfa Peros, is the Tol. By the way, Agav, I suspect, I could be wrong, or maybe just for other reasons, that Rabbeinu Yeshaya, I think I mentioned this the other day, Shitul Kubetza, says what? Matanya? That Tinfa Peros is not, is what? Is a Tolda. But what's Lo Mechal Yekarna? Lo Mechal Yekarna is enough. What's the case? Lo'asa. Meaning you chew the, and then spit it out. I think that's implied by Lo'asa, right? Now you're chewing the food, and then you spit it out. So what motivated him, because he didn't want to get involved in the Tolda. Like the Rajma says, the whole thing, what are you talking about? The whole thing is, these are Toldos. Right? So then he asks, it should have been up. Before he asks the question, it should have been up, he says, it's a tolda. You know? According to you, it's bakra. So he says, no. If it wasn't for the extra pasuk, I wouldn't have known that it was a tolda. So that's what he says. Oh, okay, but then why should it remain a tolda? Let it be mafurish bakra ke'ilu like the ah. Oh. So what I want to say this, just, you know. So Tosis gave an answer about why it's a tolda. What's the answer of Tosis? What we just said. Because the pasuk sounds like Mechal Yekarna, even though there are two psukim. So Tosis is just saying, oh, it's Enam Befurish Bakra? And what about Regel? Still question? The answer is, I think what Tosis is saying is what I said before, is Mechal Yekarna is driving, you know, the Hagdara here. Okay, that makes it enough. So the other cases are toldos, they're drop off. They're still chayiv, but we acknowledge the difference. So that's an interesting objective question to ask about Shalach Shluche and Mimela. But we don't have to say the same thing necessarily. Again, from the Rajma's point of view, methodologically, you know, hermeneutically, you know, epistemologically, meaning in both cases, you have a Havamina, you have a Maskana, it's based on two psukim. One which is, you know, pretty explicit, Vishilach and Ubier, right? And the others, you know, because of the extra. So either it's Mefurish Bakra or it's Eino Mefurish Bakra. Like, I don't have any tainas against the Rashba. Right? If I did, I'd keep them to myself anyway. Right? But he totally is understandable. But what's Tosis going to say? But in light of everything that we're saying, we know what Tosis could say. Right? And that is, okay, that's true, that's it. You have to assess each thing. When it comes to Shane, right, maybe there really is a difference between, you know, Hefza Shel Nezek and Hefza. Is that true for Regel Halacha? Because again, the same three options exist in Regel, Laman Maskana, as Shane. We can say there are two dinim. According to Adam, according to the Adam's reading of the Meiri, maybe they're too dinim, right? I don't know that you're wrong. But I'm all kidding aside. I'm not sure. I just think that it's interesting he doesn't say it. And I think that there's good reason to make the distinction. But once the Meiri says what he says about, you know, two dinim in Shane, to say that there are two dinim in the same way in Regel, but the way Adam said it was great. The default, if they're the same, should be that they're the same. If they're not the same, and there are two dinim there and there's only one din here, that already shows you there's a qualitative difference between Regel and Shein. Right? Moreover, and again, it works for the generic and the other thing, but now what I'm saying as well is, you know, in the case of Shein, we're inspired by Mechal Yekarna's remaining. In the case of Regel, maybe the maskana is, you know, you don't pay because it's the bailin, the tziruv to the bailin. You pay because, you know, in the end of the day, you know, it's still your animal, He doesn't have his own bank account. You have to pay for what your animal did. You know, not the, you know, Hanam Kal Yakarna way. So there's no difference between Mimela and Shalach Shluchei. Or maybe the gap between Shalach Shluchei and Mimela is smaller, and therefore it's anyways always considered Mitzurif to you. So we're just Megala Milsa, and, you know, and it's the same thing. I could go either way with it. All I'm saying is, whether the difference is Regal and Shane, or the difference is Shalach Shluchei versus Mechal Yekarna, Lo Mechal Yekarna, there has to be an important difference between them, according to Tosis, to ward off the question of the Raj. Yeah?
Was Adam suggesting that Regal and the Shane are so identical that any Philip you make in Regal, you have to make in Shane?
No, I don't think he was saying that.
He was suggesting that they're the same.
By the way, there's a whole Adam studies, like, you know, a whole course on Adam's thinking.
Or was he just saying that Regal and Shane are so intertwined that in Stama, any Philip...
I think he's saying that very specifically... And he'll tell me in a second what he really means. But I'm going to take a jab at it because I want to see if I'm good at this. I think what he's saying is that since Shalach Shluchei comes from Regel and Bechal Yekarna comes from Shane, if we're saying there are two dinim in Shane, meaning that the Regel, you know, factor, you know, divides up the Mechayvim of Shane, then it's reasonable to think, you know, that the Shane factor will do the same for Regel. If Mimela or Shluche creates two tracks in Shane, then probably it creates two tracks in Regel too. I think that's what I'm saying. Now you tell me.
It's more fun if I don't say.
What?
It's more fun if I don't say what I'm thinking. But,
no, but what are you thinking?
I think that one.
Okay.
What do you mean with four distinct tracks?
No, I don't know that it makes four tracks. It could be that it's that Shane and Regel, you could either have a ring. It could be four tracks. I don't think four tracks. I think what you'd say is, you know, the you know, Shane and Regel are very similar. You know, either could go the focus on Chepta Shel Nezek, or on stronger Tziruf to the Bialim. So two tracks between the two. That's what I think. But not in everything. In these particular things, because once we know Shalach Shluchei is two-tracking Shane, you know, why wouldn't it two-track Regel? And I'm suggesting, no. You don't need two tracks in Regel. Regel is more generic, and so on.
It would be a unique byproduct of the relationship between Shane and Regel.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Okay. Yeah.
There is a source that shows that even Regel, the Oslo Mela is Shalach Shluchei, not in any ways, the Mara says that.
Say again?
That Oslo Mela is Shalach Shluchei.
That's the other thing I just said.
Exactly, but there might be a definitive source like that would actually substantiate Rebbe's call between Shane and Regel and Moskana. The Mara, not in any ways, is explicitly that Avar Ke'en Veshivach. Meaning when you're Pesheya, it's Ke'ilu as if you're sending your short.
So the Mimelas are always.
So the Mimelas are always.
Right, 100%. So that Gemara would support.
And that would support the code between Shane and Regel. The Gemara doesn't say anything about Mechal Yekarna or Lo Mechal Yekarna.
Right. 100%. Yeah. So that was the. I think these are two explanations. But 100%. Very good, Raya. That's a single later on. On Memhe. Okay. Very good. Okay. Now, just getting back for a minute to the Rashi and the. And the Rashba. So we discussed yesterday that according to Rashi, that, you know, the bigger landscape. By the way, the Ravelvel piece that I wanted to look at is the one on Kavita de Tamri. Where did Moshe go? I was going to find out if he saw it in between. Kavita de Tamri, right? In a Mishalim Rakafi Shum. Kavita de Tamri, you know, if you steal it, you pay for the tamar that you stole, or the impact, or, you know, the financial impact that it has on what remains. Right, very similar to what we were talking about yesterday. Shamin of the Sada, and so on. When you have two ways of measuring things, you know, one focusing on narrowly what you did, you know, and the other on the impact of what you did on a larger framework or landscape. Right? When do you? But the phrase, the expression "landscape," right, is very telling, right? Because when it's karka, right, there's a greater tendency to look at it in terms of the bigger picture rather than the kakama mamad. Ah, there he is. Okay. I was wondering if you had gotten to Chavitza de Tamri or not.
I saw that in my
long time ago. Okay. I hear. I got that. Okay. The point I wanted to take away from Ravelbo was that he's mechalek between mazik and gzeila. That's the reason that we talked, that I wanted you to see it in El, because it belongs on the list. Or we talked about whether you know mazik is gzeila, whether gzeila is mazik. So just a couple of lines. The chavitza de tam reinim shalom rakam fi shumas kula biyachad. Shanu miyachsim a hefsek shol kol tamra v'tamra lekola chavitza kamishi kamoshi kula. Right? In karka, it's a much more davar pashut. Again, it's a landscape idea, right? Basada hu shenizak lo aperos. Achanami hachi v'chavitza hefse mityaches l'kol hachavitza lo l'kol tamra v'tamra b'fnei atzma. He says, v'tzarachiyun tari hacha v'gzeila kaimina v'gazlin tzarach l'shalim d'mei masha gazal lo d'mei masha hifsin. Ah. What you stole is what you took, right? The loss that you caused can be more than what you took because of the impact that it has on the larger scheme of things. And then he goes on to discuss whether this is true or isn't true. Again, for another time. A, it's important for the relationship between Gezel and Mazik. It's critically important for what we're talking about now. Right? Namely, when it comes to different mazikim, Adam Mazik, right, Niske Mamon, right, the different Niske Mamon, right, are we focused on the, you know, again, is it more like a Gezel halacha or more like a Mazik halacha? Is it more, you know, the impact that you've had on the bigger framework, as I said, or the smaller one? Now, again, if the, sometimes it's both. Right, that there can be different scenarios. Right, the case that we're talking about in Rashi and the Rajba is a case where if you focus on what you did, right, you're actually going to be chayev more. If you focus on the impact that you're having on the bigger structure, you're going to be chayev less. That's a different case. I'm just more interested in the bigger picture and the bigger theme. In any case. What I was trying to suggest was that if the mechayiv was hefsed, you should always go for the bigger of the two, whatever that is. But if the mechayiv is chefta shel nezek, especially when something is growing back, right, then it's an interesting question. You might say that mechalya karna, right, requires chefta shel nezek. So here, that's what I was trying to say about all of this. And, you know, here, just to add, I think Asher was trying to get to this point yesterday, but we never got back to it. And that is that in some respects, the Rashi and the Rajba seem opposite. Right? Rashi's case is a case where you consume the shachas, right? And it grows back to 80%. Right? And Rashi is saying that that's not Mechalya Karna. Correct? What the Rajba is saying is what happens if your Nezek is short-term loss, but it's long-term benefit. What happens in that case? Oh. So I think what Asher was getting at, he'll tell me also, we'll see if I'm on a roll or not. Just because you can, you know, do well in Adam doesn't mean that you can do well in Asher, right, or anybody else. Like, everybody is an Olam Mole. So it says Sefer Toldos Ha'ada, you know. In the Rav's Hesped for Rav Elbel, Mado Dech Midod, I think that's how it started out. Anyways, but so the question is, the Rajma misread Rashi? The Rajma says the opposite of Rashi. Right? Rashi's case is the field is worth 80%. Tosis is saying, who cares about any of that? The Bailam could have had the Shachas. So what's the Rajma answering? Well, sometimes, you know, the crop rotation or whatever it is, sometimes if you mow the lawn, or you have a human or an animal mower of the lawn, then it comes back bigger and better. People do it. You know, they do it l'chatchila. Oh. So there are two questions. I mean, one is, what would be the status of doing it l'chatchila? But it's a little tamua in the Rajba, because, again, he doesn't quote the full Rashi, correct, Asher? Am I right? Tosis quotes Rashi correctly. The Rajba makes reference to Rashi, but he doesn't actually quote the full Rashi. And then he says this line. Oh. So, 1 second. Da, da, da. Pirush Rashi, lo mechal yakarna, shachas sha'asid litzmoach. Okay. By the way, so he doesn't quote the salient part of Rashi. According to the Rajba's scenario within Rashi, right, you don't have the problem of, let's say, it grows back identically. But according to Rashi, Rashi says it grows back 80%. The implication being if it grew back 100%, right, you'd be Pater Legamri. Right, maybe even the Maskana. That's a wild, wild thought. Even the Maskana that you're Chayev for Lo Mechal Yakarna. Right? Okay. Unless he assumes that you just, you know, you can't have both. So there's no loss. Strange. But the Rajba makes it seem like, when he quotes it, that it's going to grow back completely. Would that work as for Rashi in, you know, would that have worked for Rashi as Lo Mechal Yakarna? I think so. But with the Maskana that you are Chayiv. Actually, it might be easier. Okay. But then, instead, the Rajba goes, okay, nearly kedivrei Rav, the shachas lo mechal yakarna kol shezara l'tvua, the teda shaf balei tvuos, v'shalchem shein behem osem, besad osem, kedei lech ala shachas, achat titzmach atvua, v'titzach yoser. And then you get this kind of in the end, mikol mokom, imba bala shachas l'ishtalem, Mishtalim lefinisko, below kol masha behema megaras minaperos. So actually, that sounds like he is working with Rashi. No, what does he mean by that last line? Asher, what does he mean by the last line? It sounds like if you read the Rajba, I'm just saying there are three scenarios within Rashi. That's all I want to point out for the moment. One is what Rashi says. Right, what Rashi says makes you wonder about when the whole thing grows back. Are you really going to be potter in that case? What will Rashi say if it grows back improved? Like the Rajba talks about? We don't know. Correct? We're not 100% sure. How much do you pay lahalacha when it grows back 80%? We're also not sure. I think the Rav thought that he would pay 20%. I don't think that's the case in Rashi. I think you pay 100%. So there are three cases and a suffix. Okay. So number one, with regard to the three cases. So the Rajba doesn't quote Rashi completely, but it's hard to believe, even based on what he does quote, that he thinks that Rashi's case is where it grows back better. Moreover, he doesn't actually say that's what Rashi says. Since I hold like Rashi, the Teda. That's what Asher was, correct? Was hinting at yesterday? Correct. So what does he mean? We just need to add, I totally agree. Just need to add color to it a little bit.
I thought the Teda is just a proof from the general Metzius that there is such a notion of it'll grow back at least.
Maybe because it sometimes grows back 120%, therefore it grows, sometimes it grows, in Rashi's case, it'll grow back 80%? No, you don't want to say that. That's not what you mean. No. I'm willing to put all my, you know, all my credibility on the line. You don't really, really mean that. When I say what in a second, what the Rashi means, you're going to say that's what I meant.
I sure is trickier to Darshan than Adam.
What?
I sure is trickier to read than Adam.
Well, it could be also the content.
What do you really mean?
Because I mean we know that there can be scenarios of 80%, there can be scenarios of 100%, there can be scenarios of 120%, right? So you need a Vateda for that? No. The Teda is to teach you the bigger question here, I think. And that is this landscape question. Like, when and why would we, and why do we ever look at the bigger picture? And when we're coming to assess Chefta Shel Nezek or Mechalia Karna, right, we have two options. We can say, listen, you mowed my lawn. I mean, you the animal. Right? And I lost the shachas. What happens after that? You know, that's a different story. Right, you trick. I'm getting back 80%. I'm getting back 100%. I'm getting back 120%. What does that have to do with what you did? Right, particularly if we're not looking at it in terms of being mafsid, but we're looking at it in terms of being mazik, which is what I'm suggesting. You know, so what dictates whether or not, you know, not the aggregate per se, right? So what dictates whether or not you look at the shachas as an incomplete hezek or compromised hezek? The answer is because sometimes, not the metzius, sometimes people do this intention. Sometimes that's the way to spur greater growth. The fact that there is a phenomenon of, you know, zomer, you know, which is you know, tzorech letzmicha, and that people do this, that is koveya, that we don't just look at the shachas, but that we look at the bigger picture. In this particular case, it's not, according to Rashi, 120%. It's either 100%, or according to our Rashi, at least 80%. The answer is that's not the point. The Vateda is the point. If this was never done, then we would always say, as it's not a process, and there's not a landscape. There's narrow hezek number one, and the unintended consequence, you know, from the perspective of the mazik, or mafsid, number two. But the fact that there's something called, you know, either crop rotation or, you know, zomer, you know, l'shem tzmicha, etc., where it's beneficial, that's what allows me to define nezek and hezek in that broader way rather than the narrower way. So now, even though there is, in fact, a loss, right, you would think that you don't pay it at all, the 20%. Because it's not Mechalia Karna. Kamash Malan, now the Kamash Malan becomes important. So if the Kamash Malan is that even though Mechalia Karna is also Chefta Shel Nezek, that's not our criteria. We're applying the concept of Mechalia Karna even in low Mechalia Karna, then I'd say you pay 100%. You don't pay 20%. I'm not sure. I mean, you could argue. My guess would be that you pay 100%. Certainly, if the idea is that you, there are two dinim, there's Mechal Yikarna, Lo Mechal Yikarna, or we don't care about Mechal Yikarna, then certainly you'd pay 100%. So I think the Vateda and the Rajba is saying like this. I know that that's not what Rashi's saying, but I'm bringing a raya from where it's beneficial to demonstrate that this is a way of looking at Nezek, right? You don't have to look at it the narrow way. Once that's true, you're going to look at it that way, even in a case where it's a wash or it's a loss. Then he says, however, what if it really is a benefit? That's where he's kind of, you know, wondering, you know, what would you pay in that case? I'll share it, no? Yeah, meaning the phenomenon of shachas litvua is one which is never which is never considered mechal yakarna, even if you wipe it out, because it is a bigger background. The haraya, this is a lechatchila process. Does shachas? Oh, okay. I think it's a small difference. But according to you, I mean, we're proving from the 120 that there can be an 80. I mean, we need that in Metzias. What?
Isn't that the answer? Like I share that Tosus thinks that the fact that the Bialim could have been Kotzer the whole thing and right. The entire 100% is Mechal Yikarna. He's saying no, because it's an advantageous thing, then it's not Mechal Yikarna. Only the 20% would be Mechal Yikarna. So he says if you want.
I'm saying maybe even the 100%, whatever. I'm saying the Teda is what shows you that the Tosus is taking the narrow view. That according to what I'm saying too. Tosus is saying basically the Bialim could have cut the grass. They would have had the grass, or whatever it is, the plants, whatever it is. They would have had it, and they would have had the benefit of they would have the 80% too. That's Tosus' question. And what the Rajba is saying is the Shachas, right, is not viewed from a Chefta Shel Nezek point of view as a Chefta B'Pnei Atzmo, even though there is a Hefsid here because he could have had it. The Haraya, people in the context of Tzvua, right, plan on getting rid of the Tzvua to make the next crop even better. That shows you that you don't look at it narrowly. It's not this crop. It's the totality of the system. It's the agricultural, you know, process enterprise that measures this. That's what dictates it for Tom the Mechal Yikarna, Lo Mechal Yikarna.
Doesn't he think that the 20% still is Mechal Yikarna?
Mikol Makom in the end? Yeah. Maybe, not sure. Mikol Makom imba bala shachas lihishtaleim mishtaleim Lefi Nizko, one second. Velo Komasha Behema Megaras Minaperos. That's the question. In the case, not necessarily that's only in the real Rashi case?
Yeah, that's not why I mean that.
Well, either way, it shows it's going back to the real Rashi.
That the 80% is not Mechal Yikarna, but that implies that the 20%.
Me saying like the Rav, that's 20, you only pay 20%. In the Rajma. I just don't think that's necessarily true in Rashi. Yeah, that I agree. But on the contrary, it shows the Vateda. No, we both agree that Vateda is not. I mean, sometimes some people have thought that the case of the Rajba either a different case than Rashi. Again, it doesn't quote Paulus. Originally, he quotes equal, and then in the continuation, he talks about more. Right. So you could talk maybe it's talking about a case of more. Right. Then the Mikal Makom is very difficult. Because what does it mean? In Babala Shachas Lish Talim, mishtalem lefi nizko lo lefi mashu behema megarasim naperos. Right? So I don't think of that as correct. I think he... So what's the raya from 120% to 80%? All I'm saying is, so Asher's saying, you see that though there could be 120%, there certainly could be 80%. I'm just saying that's a metzius. We know that. We know that things grow back. And sometimes they grow back equal, sometimes they grow back less, sometimes you don't need vateda for that. What I'm saying is the vateda is to establish, you might say, well, who cares? In the end of the day, like Tosus, why aren't we focusing on the Davar HaNizak? The answer is because we never look at the Tvua in a Tvua context as the only Davar HaNizak. We always look at the bigger picture. The Haraya, people do this intentionally. It's profitable. Once it's profitable, then even when it's unprofitable, right, it's a way of assessing what's Mechal Yikarna, what's Eina Mechal Yikarna. Because the Bala Tosis is the stuff that you destroyed is Mechal Yikarna. You Mechal Yikarna the field. Whatever you took, you Mechal Yikarna did. Right? The Viteva is saying, you look at the system. You're not looking at the Davar Shanishkas. But to establish that, the Rajba thinks he needs to show that it's beneficial. That's how I'm reading it. Then, when you go back to Rashi, he's saying, which I think you only pay 20%. In my opinion, Rashi might say, once we... if the maskana is that Mechal Yikarna, you know, is Chafta Shel Nezek, then any... that Mechal Yikarna is Chafta Shel Nezek. But that applies even in the case of Lo Mechal Yikarna. So then even 100% you'll pay, perhaps. Now getting to the... Sorry, to relate again. Two paintings, but we'll stop in a minute. So again, the Rav had a different take on this Rashi, which I think overlaps a little bit, but is pretty different. That, as I said yesterday, is he thought to read Rashi and the Rajba, more the Rajba, right, in light of Reb Chaim. Again, Reb Chaim's Ha'ara... that unlike Chavalah, Aram HaMazik is paying to restore what he destroyed, right? Rather than like a kind of a, you know, monetary compensation. Okay? Again, the Rambam's idea that Dmei Karka is Kekarka in Mazik, but not in Chavalah. Why? Because the Mechayiv is to restore what was, and if what was karka, even if you write a check, the check is in lieu of, you didn't bring your bulldozer. The rabbi says, oh, you brought your bulldozer to make karka kakarka. You wrote a check, right? That's not to make karka. That's tashlumin. According to the rabbi, there are two dinim even in Adam Amazi, or at least two kiyume tashlumin. Are there two mechayivim and you can address either one? Or there's only one mechayiv and there are two kiyume tashlumin? That I'm not sure. But the rabbi, it's bechadesh, that you can, if you bring bulldozers, that's one kind of tashlumin. If you bring a checkbook, it's another kind of tashlumin. And the Rambam says, no. So the Rambam says, what do you do with Chabalah? It's clear that we don't say Demei Karka, Demei Adam Ka Adam. The answer is, says Reb Chaim, that one is restoration, right? Making me whole. The other is compensation. So the Rambam thought, oh, if you're going to work with Mazik as restoration, then maybe that's a pshat in Rashi. Namely, it comes back. If it comes back, so it gets restored. The problem with that is, I'm not sure if it answers Tosus' question about the stuff that, you know, you could have had the shachas and you could have sold it, you know, as animal food or whatever it is, and you get the restoration too. I'm not sure whether that constitutes restoration. Saying restoration in the context of the Rambam and the Rabbah is not exactly the same as saying restoration here. That's A. B, so the Rav thought, if you say what the Rav says, which is very fascinating, you also have to assume that this isn't just a din in shame. By the way, the Nebuka Yosef Alatar says the reason that the Sugya deals with Mechal Yikarna and shame is because of Ubir. But who a din? The question of whether you need Mechal Yikarna or no Mechal Yikarna, in theory, would be a question another Niskei Mammon too. Right, we're talking about whether it might even apply to Regel, the Rishonim. The Mukhi Yosef goes beyond Shane and Regel even to other mazikin. That would work nicely, that part of it. I'm not so sure that that's the case. But okay. The other thing that the Rav wanted to say was that I think the Rav did understand the Rajba as referring to a case where it went up. Is that correct or not? Yeah. So he was talking about what, let's say it really does go up, and what happens in that case. So I think he wanted to say that if you end up paying, even though the volume goes up, so that would be comparable. That's because the Rajba basically thinks that, again, according to the Rajba, the way the Rav understands it, if you hold that you need Mechalia Karna, that's one thing. But if you hold Lo Mechalia Karna, right? So then, it doesn't depend on the value, it depends on what you were mazik. So that was the interesting case. Let's say you have two, we did Rembrandt, we did, you know, Da Vinci. My heart wasn't really in it, to be honest. You know, Van Gogh, okay? We did two Van Goghs. He had two Van Goghs, they're only ones left. Right? And then somebody destroyed one. So it turns out that the one remaining one is the only Van Gogh, you know, as they say, you know, in Europe, left in the world. Right? That's the case? So in the end, do you pay or not? Because you've upgraded his financial situation. But you did a Maisa Hezek, you smashed it to smithereens. Correct? So from a restoration point of view, I mean, this is an interesting question. There's a discrepancy here between the economic and the Maisa Hezek. And the Rav thought that should depend on this Rajba. Because if the value goes up and you pay anyway, right, then we're focusing on the narrow rather than on the global. Okay. But if you ask me, again, if the differences between Mafsid and Mazik, ironically, so you always, even if that goes the other way, if the more you think Mechalia Karna is at the center of it, right, you care about Mazik and not Mafsid, that has Kulas and Chumras. In the case that we were dealing with, it was a Kula, because it wasn't Mechalia Karna, it wasn't obliterated, because we're taking the bigger picture, even though there's a Hefsid. But if there is a case where there's no Hefsid, your act of obliteration ends up upgrading his financial status, right? So maybe you could argue that there's a narrower hefsid because that painting was worth $1 million, right? Now your remaining painting is worth, instead of another million, $4 million. So it's an interesting question, right? On the from a mazik mafsid point of view of what you only the thing that you did, you would pay no matter what. Like there's no bigger. The bigger landscape here is the unintended consequence of what this does to another one of your holdings. It's not karka and peros, right? It's not two things that are intrinsically connected. But either way, it's an interesting question. Mekalkel metaken hana. I mentioned the examples of Shabbos and Isuri hana. And what about dinei mamonos? Right, mafsid mekalka. But from my point of view, the more you say mekalia karna, you're talking about mazik versus mafsid, although it in a case, again, where you're being mekel. But in the two Van Gogh situation, you're definitely mazik. You did a maisa hezek, you completely obliterated this one painting. Right? Even though from a hefsid point of view, maybe you could argue that you did him a favor. Okay? So that is what I wanted to say about Chalikar. Okay, sorry, we're late again. But the next, we have to go